into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. Wanted to talk about a lot of the tea that has been spilled as it pertains to the Warriors and the trade deadline, and essentially two different bombshell articles dropped in the last couple of days. One being the Brett Siegel of Clutch Points article, who talked about the offers that the Warriors and the negotiations that the Warriors kind of had going on before the trade deadline, their plan A, B, C, and I guess D. And then the other bombshell was today, the Anthony Slater article, deep dive on the Kuminga saga and really just where it all went wrong. And spoiler alert, it was going wrong from the very beginning. So much to cover. I think I'm going to split this into two different episodes. So today we're going to talk about the trades that the Warriors were in negotiations on up to the deadline. And then we're going to talk about the whole Kuminga saga in a longer episode, probably later this week or next, since we got the All-Star break ahead of us. And so let's kind of jump in here. So obviously plan A for the Warriors was Giannis Antetokounmpo. And a little, it was pretty interesting actually, because the Bucks seemed to have more interest than I initially thought. We already know the Bucks weren't actually serious about making a move, and they were going to pretty much always going to hang on to Giannis, and they're just kind of testing the market. But it sounds like the Warriors' offer did move them a bit. Siegel talks about how the Warriors, as we know, put four first-round picks on the table. Those were unprotected first-round picks, and according to Siegel, it immediately raised the Bucks' eyebrows and it captivated them. And they were especially captivated by the fact that they could have unprotected first round picks beyond 2030 and beyond, which would be 2032. Also dangled a pick swap in there, which we actually Siegel didn't talk about, but there could have been a pick swap in there. And they were just very enticed by the post Curry picks potentially. And I mean, that's more than was said about any of the other potential deals, that being the Wolves, Knicks, Heat. I mean, those were always far off enough where they were potentially acquiring assets and moving some players. But sounds like the Bucks were most interested in picks, if anything, and the Warriors were considered to have the best picks and didn't seem to be all that close. So that leads me to believe that, hey, we're going to be having a very similar conversation in the summertime. Bucks are obviously going to do what they can to acquire a player and try to entice Giannis to stay. And we're kind of doing that whole dance again. Only difference being that the pick years will be moved back a year because the 2026 draft will have passed by the time the new league year starts, which means now you're looking at potential picks in 27, 29, 31, 33, all the odd years. Warriors have full access to those picks. They have not traded off the rights to, like they did with the 2030 pick, to the Wizards for the with pick protections, but essentially those could all be unprotected picks. Also opens up more pick swap potential because the Bucks now have access to more of their own picks, which they didn't originally. And I think there was only like one swap available. I believe that that would open up maybe multiple swaps as an option there, if the Warriors still want to go that route and unload all their picks in a Giannis deal. Obviously, they don't have Kuminga anymore to dangle there. The salaries would be much different now. You'd probably almost have to be sending out Jimmy Butler to make that work, or you're aggregating some kind of a sign and trade or whatever the case may be. But gets a little bit different. But point being, the Bucks continued to show some sort of interest, enough to keep Joe Lacob and the front office of the Warriors at the edge of their seat, enticed and engaged in their pursuit of Giannis, which will never, ever end. That was plan A. Moving on, plan B, which we learned and was moving along pretty well and might have even kind of surpassed plan A at one point until the Jimmy Butler injury. But the Jaren Jackson Jr. plan, and it sounds like the Warriors were in pretty deep or pretty thorough negotiations with the Grizzlies for JJJ. The concrete offer, which it seems to have been reported, and again, not verified, but reported that they were offering 2 first-round picks. So 2 clear first-round picks. Didn't hear anything about protections there. Maybe there were, maybe there weren't. Those 2 picks were the most current picks, so 2026, 2028. The Warriors are not willing to include anything 2030 or beyond. A pick swap of some sorts. And then Jonathan Kuminga, Buddy Hield, and matching salary is where it seems that the teams were pretty agreed upon at that point. So again, 2 firsts, a swap, Kuminga, Buddy, and then salary filler. Where that deal fell apart and didn't come together is that the Grizzlies wanted Moses Moody, and it sounds like the Dubs balked there. They did not want to include Moody, and that was why they did not get Jaren Jackson Jr. Coupled, and maybe they were just thinking about it. Maybe they were playing hardball still. Maybe they would have included Moody, but that was early January. They were having these discussions. Once Jimmy Butler got hurt, sounded like they reversed courses, realized not worth it at this time to go all in, especially if you're considering Jaren Jackson Jr. a secondary star, not someone that's going to be like Giannis, where like, hey, that is your franchise face cornerstone going forward, which I agree with. Jaren Jackson Jr., good player, obviously won a Defensive Player of the Year award. He still fouls a bit much for winning a DPOY, but as good as it's going to get defensively and would really fit everything well and give you some size, although he's not the best rebounder at his size. Offensively, about a 20-point scorer, probably has hit his peak as a scorer. We've seen it where he stretches the floor. He shoots fine from the outside. He's not a knockdown 3-point shooter, but he'll shoot the outside shot. He'll go to his left every time he is in the paint and, efficient, solid scorer, not going to be an alpha scorer that's going to lead your team on a deep run. Would have been a nice fit with this team had you still had Jimmy Butler, basically had you still had some wings to pair there. But if you're having to give up essentially your 3 wings in Kuminga, Hield, Moody, including all that shooting, I don't know that this team makes a run this year with Jaren Jackson Jr., especially without Butler. But even with Butler, that team's good going forward. I don't know that it's worth sacrificing essentially 2 first-round picks and a swap and handcuffing yourself to that roster going forward. I just don't know that it's good enough because you don't really have a means to getting those, like, one more wing that you might need, one more shooter that you might need. I just don't know that it's enough. And you couple that with the fact that his salary is going to jump up, I think, above $50 million a year after this year. Currently, he's at like 35 for this season, but it jumps up moving forward. That really handcuffs you too. Now you're paying, him, Steph, Jimmy, $150+ million, probably 160, 170 million plus dollars potentially. It would have been tough. And at first I was like, wow, Moody was the difference here. Like, really? I think I'm okay with passing on JJJ here because I think you're going to find something better moving forward. And if you're chalking this season up to a non-contending year, I think you can do better than JJJ. I could be wrong, and I've been preaching that, hey, you're wasting a year and it's time to make a move as soon as possible. I don't know that this was the one, but again, if it had happened, I would have been very interested to see how this team performed. And sure, yeah, maybe it makes a run this year and maybe it is a contender next year. I don't know that I'm certain enough to have moved that much draft capital and all your wings. So I'll leave that there as kind of a undecided, but I tend to lean towards I'm okay with us being patient. Plan B alternate. We'll call this the alternate plan, was the Trey Murphy plan, which we've been talking about for a while. Warriors have been talking about Murphy and checking in on him several times this past year plus. The deal, the request from the Pelicans, they said we want 3 unprotected first round picks. And they have not budged off of that in any way, shape, or form. The Warriors' offer, it's been reported in this article by Siegel, was an unprotected first, a lightly protected first, whatever that means. So call it maybe top three protected. So two first round picks and Kuminga. We're not willing to throw that third one. I guess they were hoping that the Kuminga value would be enticing enough to be able to just package the two first round picks. Sounds like Pelicans, while they like Kuminga and have some interest in him, don't view him as a building block. Definitely not worth a first round pick, you know, in the leverage situation here. So would not have made a huge difference, although maybe you throw Kuminga, two unprotected first round picks, and then now whatever called top 10 protected third pick. Maybe Kuminga helps you a little bit there. Didn't seem like it was close enough for either team to kind of get to that discussion. I would have, if I were the Warriors, I would have done this trade, especially if that was an offer before Jimmy Butler got hurt. We've been saying it here for a while. I think Trey Murphy is an ascending player and he fits you. He's the perfect fit on that wing because he shoots the lights out from all over the place. He can create his own shot, he can create for others. And he is a blossoming young player. He's 25 years old, scoring 22 points a game on really good percentages, shoots the lights out from three. Athletic, very good positional size, gives you good defense, and was just the perfect fit for the Warriors. I see him, and I know he that Jaren Jackson Jr. won a Defensive Player of the Year. I think Murphy has more upside in the long term because of that ascent, because he's only getting better, and I think he just. It's such a premium for an athletic wing that can space the floor and play defense right now. I think that was more of a need and just a better fit for the Warriors. Yeah, they're going to be able to use Jaren Jackson's size well, but I think the athletic wing is a bigger issue for them. Plus, Trey Murphy is on, I think, like a $25 million per year contract signed for another 3 years after this. Can eventually be, you know, the face of your franchise. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but I think he's going to be a perennial all-star kind of moving forward. I think that that's worth three first-round picks. If you have to be unprotected, so be it, because the Warriors are in that desperation mode of the Steph Curry window. Even without Jimmy Butler, you add Trey Murphy to this team this year. Maybe it gets a couple rounds in the playoffs, maybe a little further, probably not, but it gives you a chance to kind of get a head start on next year, and you just have that true bona fide number two scorer with Jimmy Butler out. Maybe probably is your number two scorer even with Jimmy Butler. That's what Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't really give you as much as just a bona fide scoring presence. And again, I think Murphy was ju is just, you know, a tick above Jaren Jackson Jr. And to the point when you include the salary here, I think that it would have been worth giving the three unprotected first. The fact that the Warriors couldn't even get past two, get to two unprotected first, you know, that second being lightly protected, makes me feel like this front office is being a little too conservative, a little too cheap with its picks. It needs to loosen the reins a little bit because the market is dictating that you move a little bit more than they've been willing to move, and that's why you have not found Steph Curry enough help in the last however many years and months that we've been talking here. You're waiting for deals to fall into your lap like Jimmy Butler did last year, and you know, great move by the Warriors and being patient, and patience can pay off. Not overpaying, or what you can see perceive as an overpay, can pay off. But at a certain point, you got to crap or get off the pot. And man, that pot is getting pretty old. You got maybe one more year next year, maybe 2 more years of Steph being able to lead you to a title with the right supporting cast. You're wasting a year this year. And again, it's just you can't wait too long. I think this summer is the absolute latest they can wait to make a move. And if they don't make a move this summer, you might as well just concede that the Steph Curry window is kind of fading to blackness. The firepower, or now we'll get into this summer prospects after this next part, but plan C, the Porzingis move. So kind of just gives a little more transparency into how this all came to play. Sounds like it was a pretty easy deal, and it was more or less discussed early January and even maybe earlier in the year. Warriors, obviously eager to get off Kuminga, have long thought Porzingis to be a great fit for them, pending health. Hawks didn't want they wanted off that Porzingis ride, and they wanted the upside of Kuminga, fits their timeline a little bit better, and both teams essentially get a free swing at a player that might help them for their goals and their fit at this current time. No picks included. Obviously, we had to send out Buddy Hield as well, just a salary match. But sounds like both teams considered it a win-win, and they credit just a good working relationship between both general managers to get it done. So Dunleavy essentially knew that once the Giannis thing wasn't happening, you could always fall back to a Porzingis trade at the last moment, because that was just already, I guess, agreed upon for the most part in construct. Again, sucks that the Giannis thing more or less interfered with the Jaren Jackson discussions, and maybe they could have gotten there. Maybe the pricing would could have come down a little bit to the point where the Warriors would have pulled the trigger there. Maybe the Warriors would have come up on a Trey Murphy deal had Butler got not gotten hurt. All in all, a very busy, hope-filled January, which ended with a dud emotionally. But I think looking forward, actually a pretty good move to get Porzingis and offload Kuminga. We're going to talk about how bad this Kuminga situation got next time, because again, like Anthony Slater talked about, it wasn't working, and everyone needed to move on. It was just a plague just over everybody's head. So all in all, if you're able to get Porzingis and get a no risk, high reward, perfect fit for your team, and you're okay with his medicals, and you're okay with him potentially missing some games, and you're potentially hopeful that he might re-sign on a team-friendly deal in the off season, yeah, I think we'd be happy with the move. But once you hear names like Giannis, Trey Murphy, Jaren Jackson Jr., Anthony Davis, you start hoping a bit more as a fan. And so that's why it feels a little disappointing to only get Porzingis. But again, a good move on the margins. I compare it honestly in a lower sense to when last year the Warriors at the deadline, you have all the hopes that you're getting Durant, Durant, Durant. I think it's done. Oh, it's not happening. All right, well, we got Jimmy Butler, who no one really seemed to be that interested in each other, didn't seem to be a great fit. And then he turns out to be a great addition. And, we were disappointed, but at the end of the day, you still got a good player, although not quite as great as you had originally hoped for. Hopefully Porzingis can kind of fill that same situation here. Other note is that sounds like Porzingis has for a while been really likes the Warriors, has wanted to play with the Warriors, and so that also gives good reason to think that maybe he will resign on a team-friendly deal going forward, especially because it sounds like he really likes Rick Celebrini, the medical staff already, and if they can get him right and do right by him, and yeah, maybe he loves Al Horford, and maybe he loves Steph Curry just like all the rest of us. So that's kind of where it lands with plan C, which ended up being the plan that we went with. Move also, and this is just Siegel speculating, but gives us firepower still to make more deals. There's still, Dunleavy said, there's still plenty of ammo left to make deals over the summer, and if something comes along, we'll definitely explore it. Siegel speculates, obviously Giannis will probably be in talks again, but other guys that might be up on the block, Karl-Anthony Towns, who you've already kind of heard that. I don't love the fit, but for cheap enough, yeah, sure, maybe. I mean, if you have Porzingis coming back, I don't know that Towns really makes a ton of sense. Kawhi Leonard, sign me up if he's going to be healthy. Maybe Bam Adebayo, which again would be kind of a weird fit with Dre. And I mean, Fitz would obviously, him and Jimmy have played together for a while. The spacing was a little weird, but again, we'll figure that out when the time comes. Go get me Bam Adebayo. Siegel even made a note that, Joe Lacob obviously owns the Golden State Valkyrie, and soon to be free agent A'ja Wilson, they're going to be courting her very heavy to come to Golden State, and that's Bam's girlfriend. So hey, maybe you get both of them to come to Golden State together and live happily ever after. Jared Allen, another potential name. So I guess I'm okay with, hey, the Warriors conceded that they've thrown this year out. Once Jimmy Butler got hurt, you aren't contending this year. I think that's fair to reason. And you're going to be patient because you can be patient for until this summer. Any longer than this summer, and you're not making a move, man, you're really cutting it close. I guess in theory, you have till next trade deadline, see what you have with Jimmy. And if, at that point, you can still make a move. You can make a big move and just go for it next playoffs in half a year, in half a season to for the team to gel. Seems a bit risky, but we're going to keep on hoping for greener pastures ahead and that star to eventually land with the Warriors. But all that said, I would have rather just had Trey Murphy right now. Screw the picks, give him the three picks. And if we had Trey Murphy, I would be much happier at this point because that guy, I believe, is going to be, I don't know about a star, but he could be a star. He's got star potential and he's already a borderline all-star and would have fit this team great. Okay, we're gonna leave it there. We're gonna talk about the whole Kuminga thing next time. We got a game against the Spurs tonight. Spurs coming off of a back-to-back against the Lakers, but it wasn't too competitive. So they got a decent amount of rest. Stephon Castle, pelvic injury, contusion, so he won't be playing. I find it hard to think that the Warriors are gonna score many points with Wembanyama patrolling the paint, but hey. It's the NBA these days. You hit 23s and shoot a good percentage, you can beat anybody. So let's just hope it rains a little bit tonight. All right, have a good one, guys. I will talk to you next time. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.